Tonight, I want to look at a couple passages. They're kind of parallel passages, and I've used them before, but they deal with the eternal security of the believer. I was visiting with Brother Greg about that. Again, before we get started, I sure want to say thank you to Brother Chad for the opportunity to be able to come back. We had such a blessing to be able to visit with some folks this afternoon and catch up. And good to see Amber and Rafe tonight. We're sure praying for their family and Brother Williams' home going. Continue to lift them up in prayer. I know and we will be. Tonight in 1 Peter chapter 1 is where I want to start. And these passages kind of parallel with one another, but they deal with the eternal security of the believer. And just want to read down through verse number 5, and then we'll pray and get started tonight and just give you several different thoughts and scriptures tonight. And too many people doubt their salvation. I don't know. I've heard people say, well, bless God, you can't. That's how sin entered into the world, with three words: hath God said. Satan putting a question mark where God put a period, emphatically. And just, you know, I love that song we used to hear out there at the camp meeting, "Because I Said So." The Phillips family sang that song, "Because I Said So." I mean, God said, it is written. Isn't that exactly what Jesus said when Satan came to him, tempting him? He said, it is written. I mean, that's all we got to do is go to the Word of God. I mean, we've got our sword tonight. We need to memorize it. We've been going through scripture memorization there at our church, and boy, just going back and memorizing those scriptures. And boy, you lose them. They'll get stolen away with all the information and the way our minds are bombarded nowadays, and we just got to go back and rehearse. And as always said, repetition's a great teacher. Just drive it down in the heart. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee, the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse number 11. It's there for us to be able to fight the devil and the world and the flesh and to be able to be victorious. Peter is writing here, and we need to memorize it. I believe we need to meditate upon it. In his law doth he meditate day and night. And then I think the reason sometimes we never give God a second thought, or the word of God doesn't flow from our lips, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh, is that sometimes we're not spending enough time saturating ourselves with the truth of God's word. For when we do, we'll not only memorize it and meditate it, we'll mention it. We'll be able to share the gospel and to be able to tell it to others and say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of Christ. I'm not ashamed. I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed his name to bear. 1 Peter chapter 1 here. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Again, note that word says elect. It does not say select. I mean, we see that God has chosen us. We're going to go to a parallel passage in Ephesians chapter 1, almost identically where the verses are located, and hear the Apostle Paul say that we are chosen in him before the foundation of the world. But here we see that we're elect, and elect is according to the foreknowledge of God. Now you and I do not have, we may have all types of knowledge and degrees, and we may, and if we're not careful, we can be puffed up with knowledge. But whenever we have the wisdom that comes from a child of God of crying out, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. We see that God is the source of wisdom, and how that he wants his children to be wise and to walk circumspectly in these last days and to be able to be the good disciples and servants and soul winners. We see that election is according to the foreknowledge of God. No matter how much knowledge that we have, we don't have foreknowledge. We're not omniscient. We're not omnipresent. We're not omnipotent. We don't have the. We're finite, and He is infinite. He is an. We might be mighty, but He is almighty, and He is God. And sometimes we could just learn a basic truth. Sometimes that this world and is that we're God. I mean, He's God, and we're not. And that we just need to submit ourselves unto Him. It says, through the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. You think about there, the shadows in the law there, and we've been there before to that brazen altar, to where that sacrifice was slain, that burnt offering totally consumed and exhausted, and how that blood was caught within the bowl and judicially slain, and it was that blood was brought to into the holy place, and on the Day of Atonement into the Holy of Holies, and sprinkled upon the mercy seat there upon the Ark of the Covenant, and how the cherubim overshadowed that mercy seat, and how that without that blood, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And with that blood, though, that there is mercy. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that they were singing about tonight. There's power in the blood tonight. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. That's where it comes from. That's why. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God's, you've heard the acronym before, I love it, of grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. We're rich tonight, but not from Satan's wages. Why? Because we're standing on the solid rock. We look tonight and see that Peter is writing here, and he goes on to tell us some things that will give us some more hope. This book, the Word of God, is full of not only the doctrine of eternal life, but of the doctrine of eternal security of what we have once we are in Christ. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because He lives, one of these days, there's going to be a resurrection morning. The dead and Christ are going to rise first, and we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words," the Word of God tells us. We have comfort tonight. Because of Christ, because of the empty tomb, because of the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of the time that we reached a crosswords, not crosswords, but we reached a cross, we reached a crossroads in our life, a place to where the Holy Spirit of God brought us to a realization of our sin nature and before a holy and a just God. And how we reached a place to where God's goodness led us to repentance. God's grace saved us. God's greatness keeps us. His glory will be revealed as a result of that. We are going to see that in this next verse right here, that He is the keeper of our soul. We're to be the keeper of our hearts and minds. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. A lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Let's go ahead and read verse 5 and pray and ask God's blessings, and then look at a few things here tonight as God gives us time. We see that it's reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God. We never had the power to save ourselves. We don't have the power to keep ourselves. We're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you, Lord, so much for another opportunity to be in your house, Lord, the opportunity to come out of the world. Thank you for putting Lord, just giving us that desire, Lord, to come before you, Lord, through the new birth, through being a child of God. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we would rejoice tonight and that, Lord, we not like Satan's take away that assurance that we have in Christ, that confidence and that boldness. Lord, help us to stand in these last days. And Lord, help us to be not only disciples, but soldiers of the cross, Lord. Lord, we just pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight, Lord. And again, just build us in the faith and draw us closer to you, we pray. Lord, we love you. Lord, we also want to pray that you'd watch over Brother Chad and his family, Lord, there in Ohio, and that you give them safe traveling mercies, that you'd continue to be with the Williams family, Lord, and Brother Gary's home going, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you would just give them added grace at this hour in their time of sorrow. Lord, just meet with us here tonight, we pray. And we love you, and we pray and ask it all in the precious name of Jesus and with thanksgiving. Amen. As we look here tonight, we see the inheritance. We stopped there about right in through there, and for time's sake, I'll not go all the way back to verse 1 again, but an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. When we think about an inheritance, I think of the fact today that many, they have a silver spoon, but they don't have a scarlet thread. And I referenced the scarlet thread going back to Rahab the harlot there in the book of Joshua right there. I mean, you can have all that this world has to offer and die and split hell wide open. Luke 16 tells us the rich man died and in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torments. Because he was rich? No, because that was his God. We live in a world today that they are just saturated with pleasure, prosperity, popularity, and every other word that you want to put in there to everything but Jesus, everything but God, and everything about the things that are temporal instead of the things that are eternal. Well, we look not at the things which are temporary, the Paul writes over there. We need to keep our eyes upon eternal things. Brother Roloff said, he said, do your giving while you're living so you'll be a knowing where it's a going. Lay up your treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. I mean, all this stuff one of these days is going to be a big bonfire. And I have to remind myself of that. It's all right to have hobbies. And I don't mean we have to walk around with a frown on our face and say, I hate this and I hate this and I hate that. The matter of looking at that in the study of that, it said, he that hateth not his mother or father, that don't mean we're to hate our mother and father. That means that our love for Jesus Christ is to be so strong that in comparison to that, that it would be that way. I mean, we are to love them, and we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church, and we can't do that except without the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We are looking at this passage here tonight about an inheritance. And he tells us about that inheritance, that it didn't come cheaply and that it was bought with a price. And that very familiar passage in that same chapter in verse 18 and 19, it says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Verse 23 tells us, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That incorruptible seed, the incorruptible word of God, and how that because of that we have an inheritance that is incorruptible. It's undefiled and it fades not away. We have eternal life, as I said this morning, and we will never perish. Brother was playing the song over there a while ago. Me and Brother Greg was talking all of a sudden that that song, man, that 2 Timothy 1, verse number 7, that's a song right there. He said, for the which cause we also suffer these things. He said, he's persuaded that he is able. He said, for the which cause I also suffer these things. He said, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I'm persuaded. Are you persuaded tonight? Are you charmed by the world's delight? Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. And how that we need to keep our eyes on Christ, and we need to stay in the Word of God. We need to stay in the house of God and in the work of God. And we need to draw close to God in these last days like never before. We're rich tonight. And there's a lot of folks tonight that have a whole lot more money than what I do. But my friend, they're spiritually bankrupt and on their way to a devil's hell. And God loves them. And God sent His Son. And He wants them to be saved before it's too late. Reserved in heaven for you. And then I love that part, kept by the power of God. We are kept. Paul said, I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Now, would you look with me over there in Ephesians for just a few moments here tonight? I'll try not to be lengthy tonight. I know y'all have a business meeting. Ephesians chapter 1 tonight. And verses 1 through 14, you'll see that there's kind of a parallel in these passages right here. And that Paul, he focuses on going all the way back to the eternal God, even before creation was spoken into existence, whereas Peter had taken us all the way unto the time that we're going to be presented faultless before the Lord because of that resurrection morning, because of that rapture as a child of God. But Paul writes here, and he's writing to the church at Ephesus here, and that word Ephesus means darling. And we think of, whenever I think of that, I thought, well, that kind of, you know, Ephesians 5 twice says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. We think of the great love that Christ has for His church, for His bride, and how that it's His love, not our love. For years, I used to read that one passage over there, and I think they've got a song that they sing on it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 right there, it says, 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 actually, verse number 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again." That first part, "the love of Christ constraineth us." For years I read that. And, you know, sometimes as a young Christian, we'll take Scripture out of context, or we'll just take a part of a verse and we won't look at the whole truth and we won't look at the rest of the Word of God, and we can get in trouble. I used to say, "Resist the devil and he'll flee from you." And I said, "Well, you better read the rest of that verse." The first part of that verse said, first of all, "submit yourselves therefore unto God. Then you'll be able to resist the devil and he'll flee from you." We can't do it in our own power. This verse right here is telling us it's not my love. It's not your love. It's not any child of God. It's His love. His love never fails. There are times that my love fails, and times that my love is frail. And as I said in the beginning, that it's finite and that it's limited. And it's times like that that I need to hear that still small voice of the Holy Spirit of God reminding me of His love for me and leading me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. We see that Paul is writing here to the church at Ephesus, and remember that they were one of the seven churches over in the book of Revelation, and that they were the ones that Jesus had said they've left their first love. Again, you've heard that probably 1,000 times. They didn't lose their first love, but they left their first love. And how did it happen? It happens in a gradual way. Remember his brother Weatherby, and I know he's been here a few times, and y'all love him, and I do too. He was my teacher in pastoral workshop, but I remember him telling me, he said, "Gentlemen," he said, "backsliding's not a blowout. It's a slow leak. It's just a slow leak. You wake up, and that it's just been, you've been gradually growing cold and gradually at a distance from God, and you've not been in the Word of God, not been to the throne of grace, not been to the house of God, not been amongst the brethren, not been in the work of God, and not been involved." And the next thing, that's exactly the way Satan does and the way he destroys Christians and churches. He likes to isolate us. And we see the importance of the unity of the believers there. How pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, the psalmist said. Blessed be the ties that bind us. Paul is writing here to a church at Ephesus that dealt with a goddess by the name of Diana, and how that there was much idolatry involved in that area, and how that they had slowly left their first love. We have to keep ourselves, not our souls, but we have to keep ourselves. The book of Jude gives a great truth over there. In verse number 20 it says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." We have to guard our hearts tonight. Paul is writing to a church. They need to be reminded of their position that they have as believers. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed. Now, I marvel that how these verses 3 through 5 sound almost identical to 1 Peter 1, 3 and 5. They have a strong similarity right there, an agreement. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now let's consider how mighty and how awesome that our God is tonight. Sometimes God gives me things in progression, and just the way that we look at it is that it was before the world began, before God spoke this world into existence. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Brother Chris is teaching there in Genesis and how that it was God's foreordained plan. Such words as elect and chosen and predestination, those words are beyond us many times. That's where we are simply called to trust God at His Word and to take Him at His Word and to rest in His promises. We see He's chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, before the world, and then I say before the wounds of Jesus, before He even went to the Lord, but even before he went to Calvary. And we see that he was going to pay the price. Genesis 3:15 that we looked at in Sunday school this morning told us of that promised seed and the hope that we have in the virgin-born Son of God. But then also you can carry it on up to the fact that as he told Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 5, he said, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." Even before we were in our mother's womb. I don't know about you. I can't understand that. I just have to say, it's written, and God said so. And I believe it. And don't get caught in that trap. Another one of those old preacher things said, "God said it, I believe it, and that settles it." No, God said it, and that settles it. I hope you believe it tonight, because if you do believe it, you'll rest a lot better tonight, knowing that in your heart. But We see before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Whom God did foreknow, to them he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That verse follows right after Romans 8:28 there, to where we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Everything in our life. And I constantly reaffirm that there is no chance, there's no circumstance, and there's no coincidence in my life. DJ was just preaching here the other day on the book of Ruth, and whenever Ruth came into the harvest time there with Boaz, how it was her hap. It wasn't just by chance. It was part of God's design, planned. You see, he's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So he knows the beginning from the end. I can trust him. You can trust him. A God that is that mighty Isn't that awesome? Can we not trust Him as His children tonight with our eternal souls and rest in this doctrine of eternal security? Is that we should be, and then verse number 5, here's that word we were talking about a while ago, that having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. And you know, that's great to be accepted, to be able to know that we have a throne of grace and that we have a great high priest, but it's also great to even know that it goes beyond that, especially if you're here tonight and your family, that they serve the Lord and that they know the Lord and you do that together and that you're a part of the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been born of His Spirit, washed in His blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod, for I'm glad I'm part of the family of God. Aren't you glad that you're accepted tonight and that there are others that love you and that call you brother or sister? What a blessing tonight. To the praise of the glory of His grace, He's made us. We have the same Holy Spirit. We have the same Word of God. We have that same precious redeeming blood that gives us that inheritance, that incorruptible inheritance. Oh, there's some things that we might disagree on, but we need to agree on this book tonight and good sound doctrine. In whom we have redemption through His blood. I don't know which one it is. I don't want to get into that, but there's some of the versions that like to take out through His blood. Boy, you better leave the blood alone. You better keep it in a songbook. You better keep it in the Bible. You better keep it in your heart. You better praise and thank God for it. Because without it, we'd be lost. There's a few things that you go to study in the Word of God without the resurrection. If in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Praise God that as Brother Chris took us to Genesis 3 this morning and showed us where God took the skins of those animals and how that they were slain and how that their nakedness was covered with those skins, how that was a type of Christ covering for us as children of God. He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We see that as we look at this passage here, that how rich that we are, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. I'm a poor rich man. Boy, I still remember that song. I know I used to use that a lot. I know that I'm poor, but I got a lot more than many rich folks that I know. I got a home in the sky that money can't buy. Praise God, I'm a poor rich man. Well, you can take this world, but give me Jesus tonight. Thank God that we can rest in the riches of His grace and that every blessing that we have, every breath that I take, every time my heart beats another time, and every blessing is from above. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is neither variableness, neither shadow of turning. Thank God for the blessings that He doesn't have to give us those blessings. He's already given us eternal life, and yet, as we've looked at before, how blessed that we are, that we have the breath of life, that we have the gift of eternal life, and how that we have the promise of abundant life. The thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That we have a song in our hearts, and how that we have a blessed hope, and how that we need to be, as Titus wrote, looking for that blessed hope. Don't lose hope. Don't give up, for it's almost over. The song wrote, writer wrote, it says, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us all, in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. There's that word inheritance again. being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Forget which verse it is, but Paul wrote over there, he says, God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But we have to be yielded servants. We have to say, hey, have your way, Lord. Have thine own way, Lord. Thou art the potter, I'm the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I'm waiting, yielded and still. Well, when we moved up to the parish area, I learned that they don't like to yield up there either. First year we was up there, Dacia had a wreck, and then Aaron had a wreck, and then I nearly had a head-on collision just driving one day, and boy, we're talking about running into somebody, but God worked that all out and kept us safe. My friends, sometimes when we run head-on into the things of this world and into the devil and in the power of the flesh, and we're not yielded to the power of the Holy Spirit, we're heading for a shipwreck of our faith. He wants us to be like Christ, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. And here it is. Here's that great, just one of so many passages that deal with eternal security. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. The Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We heard the truth of God's word, and the Holy Spirit of God convicted and moved our hearts and moved us to repentance. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed. The Bible says that whenever you study the word of God, that when we get saved, that we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We have a new name. We're no longer children of the devil. We're sons of God. Now are we sons of God, John wrote. I mean, we see that we have a new nature. Thank God. In whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Earnest money, the blood of Jesus Christ. And yet it wasn't just a down payment. It wasn't, I said, okay, I'll make the down payment. Now here's you a payment book. Your first payment will be due. No, grace is God's unmerited favor. We don't deserve it and we can't earn it. It's a free gift of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It must be received not with the hand or not with the head. It must be received with the heart. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Rock of ages cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. As we look at this passage, as we look at this promise right here, it's talking about God, not my promise, but it's talking about the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God, I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Because God's word, truth, crushed to the ground shall rise again. That was the cry of the Reformation. The body they may kill, his truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. Thank God for this book. Thank God for the blessed hope and the blood. The old timer said, the blood, the book, and the blessed hope. My friend, it's still the cry today for me in my heart. It hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. He said, I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed in the book of Malachi there. God hasn't changed his mind about sin or about salvation. He said, I gave that verse a while ago. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Why? He said, my Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. We are in the Father's hands. We are sealed by the Holy Ghost. We are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And when God looks at Dale Harris now, he doesn't see him or I would be consumed in a moment. It's because of the blood of Jesus Christ that God looks upon me as David did upon Mephibosheth and saw the likeness of Jonathan, that he sees the likeness of Jesus because of his love and grace and mercy toward me. God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, he's going to keep us. That another great passage, and I spoke about this one this morning, but just to show you that salvation's of the Lord, and another eternal security verse is found in John 6:44. The Bible tells us in that verse, it says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. I love this next part. And I will raise him up at the last day. Well, that tells us that whether in death to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord and be a part of that resurrection morning, or whether we're part of that part which are alive and remain, we're going to be caught up in a moment of a twinkling of an eye at the last trump. Oh, what, that's for us to rejoice at. Don't let Satan steal that from you in these last days. Establish tonight, as Peter writes in other parts, he says, make your calling and election sure. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Know that there's been a time in your life that you have reached a place in your life that you have cried out as the publican, dear God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and claim the words of Jesus who said, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Don't be as that Pharisee. Don't be a lost church member like I was at the age of 26 years old, on my way to a devil's hell and deceived and trying instead of trusting. Oh, trust him tonight. He'll save you. He loves you tonight. He wants you to be saved. Oh, the children of God in the church that are here tonight that know him have rejoiced just as the angels who rejoice over one sinner that repenteth tonight. Oh, what a blessed hope that we have, this doctrine of eternal security. You're not going to break the grip of the Father's hands. But may I close with this verse right here. Is in that same book. We were in Ephesians chapter 1. This is why I believe that men and women and young people doubt their salvation, is whenever sin enters into their lives. It grieves and quenches the Holy Spirit of God. Listen to what Ephesians chapter. This is why the love of many has waxed cold. This is why we've lost the shout. This is why we've lost the burden. This is why we're not having revival today, because of the carnality and the wicked day in which we live in today, and how that we need to cry out unto God and lay our all upon the altar unto him. He says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Did he not tell us in Ephesians chapter 1 that we were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise? What's he say here? Whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. That's settled. It's settled. The old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today. For he washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. Oh, it's not a matter of whether I'm going to heaven. It's whether or not I'm going to let Satan drag me through the mud and make my life a living hell. I've said this before. Hell's not in my future plans. But I want you to know that there's been times in my Christian life when my heart wasn't right with God. And I confess that before you tonight, as I have before my Heavenly Father, that Satan can drag you through the mud. He can cause you to lose hope. He can cause you to have fear. He can cause you to have doubt and to lose your confidence and to have worry and doubt where there should be confidence and boldness and blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. He says, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Take time to be holy. Speak off with thy Lord. Oh, stay in the Word of God. Stay on your knees. Stay in the Word of God. Walk close with him. He said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That's the negative side of it. Whenever we grieve and quench the Holy Spirit of God in our lives and we begin to walk in the flesh. Remember I said in Romans 8, the carnal mind is enmity toward God. But whenever we have the spirit mind, it's a life of peace. Those verses tell us. It says, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Oh, that'll be the result of it tonight. Whenever we're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, whenever we have that assurance, that ABC, that assurance, boldness, and confidence that God wants us to have in our lives, and that's one of the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, and peace. Oh, maybe tonight we just need to fall on our faces before God. Maybe tonight we just need to say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, that no matter how many times my love has failed, that you still love me. And that one of these days you're going to present me faultless before the throne. Well, don't get me to explain that, but I believe that because it's written in the Word of God. That one of these days I'm going to get my glorified body and I'm going to see my Jesus and I'm going to see my loved ones that have gone on before. And Satan, he may try to drag me through the mud and he may try to get my eyes off Jesus and cause me to lose hope. The righteous man falleth seven times, but on the seventh time he riseth up again. Just keep getting up. You say, how do you get up? And I think the one of the things God's taught me in the last few years about how I'm able to, how can you stand by falling on your knees? Well, some of the best ways to be able to stand is to fall on your knees. I don't say this for a pat on the back or any, but and maybe some of you could say amen and nod your head and say that you've done the same thing. I don't know how many times I've woken up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and I couldn't sleep. I just got on my knees. Just get on your knees. Just open up the Word of God. I guarantee you the devil will put you to sleep. But just remember, the God of Israel neither slumbers nor sleep, and He giveth His beloved sleep. Oh, God doesn't want us to walk around tormented and just constantly frustrated and aggravated and in failure. He wants us to be able to sing victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Oh, tonight, distrust Him tonight. Oh, I pray that you've trusted Him as your personal Savior and that if not, even tonight, that you'd come and that you would call upon His name. That you, the Bible tells us, just as I said, the message doesn't change. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's a heart decision. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Believe Him tonight, and all will be well. And then, child of God, go to a world that is dying, His perfect salvation to tell. Let's turn our eyes upon Jesus tonight in the eastern skies. Like the old preacher said years ago, coming soon at an eastern sky near you, Jesus in all His glory. Can't wait. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you, Lord, so much.